Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:57 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 20th. Well, today we saw that a number of markets pulled back rather sharply. In Asia this morning, the Shanghai A shares were a bit weaker. They continue to have encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. They really do need to hold at least half of their gain from the December low to really suggest that the medium term is going to be demand dominated. The Japanese market was closed today, but the yen was a bit weaker against the US dollar by about 39 ticks. It continues. It went up and had a look at the 84 yen. The dollar went up and had a look at the 84 yen level earlier today. It's pulled back a bit from that region, but still really quite a weak yen. Elsewhere in Asia, it was relatively mixed. The Thai market in particular is really very steady and is one of a small number that has moved on to a new high. Generally in Asia, it was a relatively quiet day. The Taiwanese market was a bit weaker. The Indian market was also a bit weaker. In Europe, the majority of markets were down in the region of 1%. The Spanish IBEX was an exception. It was only down about 0.25%, but the FTSE, the CAC, the DAX, the SMI, not the SMI, sorry, but the other three were down in excess of 1%, the SMI down about 0.5%. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down about 0.5%, the S&P down about 0.33%. The Nasdaq 100 is actually in positive territory. Apple, having been as low as into the 580s earlier on today, closed out the day in excess of 600. It was quite a remarkable reversal on the day. A subscriber informed us in an email today that of the main headlines on Apple that were really drawing people's attention was the fact that they're going to pay a dividend and that they're going to allocate quite a lot of money to buying back shares, but that is actually a commitment of future cash flows. They're anticipating, even on a low ball growth forecast, that they'll be able to pay out and meet their commitments in terms of their share buybacks and their dividends from future cash flows rather than their established cash pile. So that puts a quite an increasingly more bullish perspective on the share, and that probably helped to bolster confidence in here today. Nevertheless, it is really quite overextended relative to any trend mean one chooses to take in here. The first larger reaction that we've seen over the last 3 months is likely to suggest that a medium-term peak has been reached, but so far there's little evidence that that is the case. When we look at other stock markets, particularly in Europe, they have pulled back a bit sharply in here today. A number of them are due a bit of a pause in consolidation. The FTSE has been ranging in the region here of 5,900, between 5,900 and 6,000 for much of the last 6 weeks. It still holds the progression of higher reaction lows. And provided those remain intact, then I don't think there's going to be too many people particularly worried about it here. Some markets are susceptible to a reversion towards the mean. There's a sense of inevitability about this, but there hasn't been any catalyst to really shake the bullish complacency that's been established over the last 3 months in what has been the best start to a year that many people remember. US Treasuries were a little bit firmer in here today. They gave up part of their advance, but and they still hold around the 135 to 136 region. They are holding their breakdown from the overhead trading range. It's a very similar story for JGBs, for gilts, and for bunds. They were all relatively steady in here today. There has been a number of commentators saying that the 28-year bull market in US Treasuries is over. We won't have confirmation of that for quite a long time, but certainly the evidence is starting to stack up in favor of that conclusion. When we look at the price action, we've had a really quite marked loss of momentum over the last 7 or 8 months. Now we're starting to see a breakdown from that area. The total return index has probably been the pitch, well, has been a picture of consistency since 1983. If that were to sustain a move below the 200-day moving average, that would give us conclusive evidence that this multi-decade bull market in US Treasuries has indeed ended. I had initiated a short position last week. I closed it out because I wasn't particularly happy with my entry point. It's looking likely that I'm not going to get a better chance to re-enter that market. These government bond prices have been quite steady over the last few days, but there's been a distinct absence of upward dynamics. It continues to look like a distribution in advance of extending the downtrend. So there is the increasing likelihood that we've at least seen a medium-term top in these government bond prices. We'll have to wait for some additional evidence to support the contention that we've seen a long-term top in government bond prices, but the outlook is bearish. And that is going to have ramifications, particularly for interest-bearing investments. There's a large number of investments out there that have negative real yields. That was acceptable in an environment where people were remarkably bearish about the growth prospects of the global economy or the US economy or the European economy or the Japanese economy or the Chinese economy. But we are starting to see a bit of a migration. We're starting to see people thinking that the worst possible scenario isn't actually going to come into effect. And then do we really need to own assets that are at remarkably high prices and are offering negative real yields when there is ample opportunity in other asset classes for capital appreciation and the ability to get a dividend that pays substantially more than the CPI rate at present? I think there's an increasing number of investors beginning to come to that realization. Do they really need to own US Treasuries or bunds or gilts or JGBs in this type of scenario? What is a potential spanner in the works for that view is the oil price. Now, oil today was down by over $2. That constitutes a downward dynamic both on West Texas Intermediate and on Brent crude. It's a downward dynamic within what has been a range over the last 6 weeks. It really does need to break down out of that range. Oil needs to sustain a low beneath the 200-day moving average to really suggest that the medium-term upside is a less likely prospect. There was an email today asking what was the best hedge in the event that Israel does bomb Iran. It's an unknowable as to whether they're going to do that or not. There's certainly been rumors circulating for at least 2 years that Iran was going to be bombed imminently, or that they were going to announce that they had a nuclear weapon imminently, and that has been rattling on for a significant amount of time. We don't know if this situation is going to evolve or not. I personally am tending to slant towards it being a less likely potential outcome, but the solid fact is we don't know what it's going to be. So if we're thinking about hedges, then the oil price is the hedge. Just like any other hedge, if we don't see a bombing of Iranian nuclear installations, or that becomes a less likely prospect, then that hedge is not going to work out. On the other hand, a falling oil price would be an additional tailwind for global stock markets, and that certainly would help to inflate prices in that regard. So I think a lot of people have been looking at the oil price as a potential hedge, and the fact that you are starting to see downward dynamics and the fact that oil is not surging ahead is a comfort. What it really does need to do, though, is experience more technical damage to really suggest that the supply side is beginning to regain dominance in this environment. In the soft commodity complex, corn had a downward dynamic yesterday. It followed through. Today it was down an additional 16 ticks. It's encountered a little bit of resistance to the upper side of this 3 to 4 month range. And a clear upward dynamic is really required to suggest that it's not going to go right back down and test the lower side of the range. Soybeans, which has been leading on the upside, posted its largest downward dynamic in the last couple of months, and it's hit a peak of at least near-term significance. It's a bit overbought in the very short term. At least a consolidation is warranted at this stage. Gold was weaker today by about $13. It continues to hover here in the region of the 200-day moving average. But it needs to do more than that. It really does need clear upward dynamics to convince investors that there is demand in this region. And at present, nothing has really happened to suspect that gold isn't going to trade a little bit lower in here. Silver at one point was down over a dollar today. It finished out the day down 80 cents. It's around the 32 mark. Platinum was down $29. Palladium was down 12. All of the precious metals are susceptible to some additional weakness in the short term. We haven't any great evidence that the secular bull market for gold is over. But we are in a comparatively lengthy period of consolidation, and it really is for the bulls to prove their bullish case in here at present. The Australian dollar was weaker today by over a cent. It's down to $1.04 and 78 ticks. The Australian dollar has been a headwind for the Australian economy for at least the last few years. It's established itself above parity versus the US dollar. Just like Japan needed the catalyst of a substantially weaker yen to reignite investor sentiment or investor interest in the country, I suspect the same is true of Australia. And it really does need a weaker currency to lend a hand to the domestic economy and to reignite foreign interest in the stock market. I think the majority of foreign interest is probably focused in the debt markets for Australia at present. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.